So good to see everyone out this morning. If you're visiting with us, we want you to know we are really thankful for your presence and to have you here with us. We want you to come back every chance that you get. For our members, we're always thankful to have you in our presence. And continue to pray for those who may not be here because of sickness. I want to continue and finish up my lesson that I started last Sunday. And it's the lesson that I started on gossip. And I want to start off by saying this too. You know, when you're passionate about something, you talk about it in your passion. And I never want to come across as if a person who gossips is so much worse than a person who lies, or a person who gossips is so much worse than probably the mistakes that I make in my own life, because that's just not the case. God views sin as sin. Wages of sin is death. And so whatever problems you and I face in our lives, God views those problems the same. We all have to stop them. We all have to forsake them. We all have to strive to be the best that we can be. But there are sins that have a tremendous amount of more consequences than others. And gossip is one of those sins. You know, me flying off the handle, for instance, if I fly off the handle with my wife at home, that's not going to affect, you know, you all too bad. But if I jumped on my wife or something at home and somebody here found out about it and spread it around the congregation, and that gossip could definitely destroy the congregation and destroy anybody who comes in contact with it. So there are more sins. It's just like the sin of, homosexuality, that people say that we raise above other sins. And it's not that we raise it above other sins. It's just that some sins have an adverse effect on society, people around you, and those things when it comes to the consequences. And gossip is one of those sins. Last week, I looked at the anatomy of a gossiper, so to speak, and just looked at characteristics of people who get involved in gossip and tried to answer the question of why that is the case with many people. And we looked at some verses about it in Luke 18. But this morning, I want to look at the actual sin of gossip. I know people who don't really believe gossip is a sin because it's done so commonly. It's like a casual conversation that we take on from time to time. And so this morning, let's kind of explore that idea and see if God views gossip that way. When we look at the word gossip, it's evolved over the years from its meaning. It comes from an old English word that has to do with a godfather or godmother, a close member of the family, in the God family, so to speak, you know, who has a relationship with a person who has access to pertinent material and those kind of things. And in Middle English, it kind of evolved into becoming someone who was a close friend and one who gossiped about the relationship or the things that happened in the relationship with the close friend. And later on, it became known as idle talk. And so our modern English word gossip has evolved from words that describe people in a position to know private facts about others, and has come not only to meaning those who spread the private facts to other family members, but people who spread those private facts beyond family members to people who have nothing to do with the family. And that's the idea and the concept we have when we see, when we look at the term gossip. The way I want to approach this, I want to look at the different types of gossip, and I want to look at some scriptures that kind of relate to, either implicitly or explicitly, to the term gossip and these types of gossip. Beginning with the first one, this is slander. Slander is defined as spreading rumors or lies about a person to cause damage purposely. There is a direct intent to cause damage to a person's life, a person's reputation, or a person's family. In the legal realm, they call this libel, a written defamation that is passed to someone else about someone else. When we look to the scriptures about slander, we see in Proverbs 10 and verse 18 that it says, "Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." The word slander here, is not a. It's not that you're spreading something that's a lie. Slander is spreading even something that's true, but it's evil. It's an evil report. So you can't say that it's not gossip and it's not slander if it's true. If it's true and it's an evil report and you spread it, it is a sin because you're slandering the name of a person that you're talking about. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, when Paul talks about those eight things that we are to think on, one of the things that in that whole list, he says we are to think on things that are positive, things that are true, even things that are of good report. And so there's only one report that Christians should be focused on. There's only one report that Christians should be spreading to other people, and it is good reports. Okay? The next thing, the type of gossip is what we call dishing. And dishing the dirt, so to speak, basically means sharing the good information, the juicy information that you learn about someone else. Maybe the intent is not to directly cause damage, but by keeping the gossip alive, it continues to spread and taint the image of the person that the gossip is about. Okay? Proverbs 20 and verse 19 says, "He who goes about as a slanderer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a gossip." There are two important things in this verse right here. Number one, a person who goes around and keeps gossip alive reveals secrets that should not be revealed, whether true or whether false. And as Christians, we have a responsibility. We can take control of situations like this. And the way we take control of a situation of situations like this is we do not associate with people who want to come and tell you something about someone else. That's the easiest way to stop gossip. The easiest way to stop gossip is not to go to the preacher or go to the elders and tell them such and such, unless you're just informing them so they can get involved. There's nothing wrong with that. But the easiest way to stop gossip is turn a deaf ear to anything that someone has to say to you. Don't listen to it. Don't listen to it. And after they've gone around the church and can't find anybody to listen to, trust me, they'll leave and find somebody else to talk to outside of the walls of this congregation or any other congregation where something like that may be a problem. The next thing is rumors. You hear something, it's not good, and it's also not confirmed to be true. But you tell someone or you ask someone else about the info to get more info about the situation. The rumor mill turns and it turns, and the gossip just spreads, and it spreads from inquiry, from just trying to find out if the information is true. Proverbs 26 and verse number 22 says, "The words of a talebearer are like tasted trifles, and they go down into the inmost body." They're like tasted trifles, and talebearers are people who keep things going, and people who keep things going look at gossip as tasted trifles. It's good to them. It's good to them. But it does so much damage and harm, which is why God identifies gossip as a sin. He identifies slander as a sin. He identifies spreading rumors as a sin, or dishing the dirt as a sin. This is where the concept of James chapter 3, verse 5, becomes so important. James says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a fire a little fire kindles." The principle in this verse right here as it relates to gossip is this right here. If you want to stop the forest fire, stop the first gossip. If you want to stop the forest fire, stop the first slanderous report. If you want to stop the forest fire, then stop the mouths of those who are trying to keep a rumor spreading or trying to inquire about something just to put the idea in someone else's mind. Because if you don't, what's going to happen with that one person, that rumor or that whatever it is that happened, that evil report is going to spread to two people, it's going to spread to three people, and before you know it, it's going to be in the congregation, and the congregation is going to be torn asunder. It's going to be a forest fire. And let me tell you something, once the forest fire is created, ain't nothing anybody can do then but just wait on the repercussions and look for the aftermath. That's it. It's that dangerous. And you've seen it. You've seen people who've been killed for gossip. You've seen people, somebody has said something about them that either was true or not true, and fights have broken out at schools and stuff like that. We've all seen it. And we may have been a part of it in our lives at some point. Proverbs chapter 26 and verse number 20 says, "For the lack of wood, fire goes out. And where there is no whisperer, contentions quiet down." You see that? If you don't give a gossip of wood to light the fire, you will never have to worry about a fire, forest fire being created. And if you don't give someone who is trying to tell you something negative or evil about somebody else, if you don't give them an ear to listen to, then you will start to see contentions quiet down. You see, the members have more control over the environment of gossip than anybody else. The minister is only one, it's only one person or two people or however many ministers the congregation has. Elders are only two or three or four or five or however many elders. They're only that. They're a small portion of an entire congregation. But a congregation is 50 members, 100 members, 200 members, 300 members. And imagine if all 300 members band together and said, we will not listen at any gossip. Imagine the peace and harmony that will exist among the fellowship. The next thing I want you to do is turn over to Proverbs chapter 6. Because this is where we really get the concept of gossip being an abomination in the eyesight of God. Remember what gossip leads to. Gossip leads to contention. Gossip leads to discord. Gossip leads to relationships being broken, relationships being destroyed, people's reputations being marred forever. And so when we look at the idea of discord and the idea of contentions being sown within the body of Christ, notice what Proverbs 6 verse 16 says. These six things the Lord hates, and yet seven are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies. Notice, a false witness who speaks lies, and then it says, and one who sows discord among the brethren. It is a sin to sow discord within the body of Christ. Gossip sows discord in the body of Christ. Therefore, gossip is a sin in the body of Christ. God says, a person who sows discord in the body of Christ is not just a sin. He said, it is an abomination to me. It's in the same category of abominations as murder. And God said, I don't like it. And he looks at a gossiper as participating in a sin that is an abomination in the body of Christ. Another category is backbiting. It's a flavor of gossip that involves speaking spiteful or slanderous words about another person who is not present or cannot do anything to defend themselves. This is the one that's kind of cowardice, because anybody should have the right to defend themselves from any charge that's laid against them, whether it's true or whether it's false. Proverbs 25, verse number 23, the north wind brings forth rain and a backbiting tongue and angry countenance. A backbiting tongue. And you know what? You never, ever are going to know the true facts about any situation that involves anybody unless you talk to the person themselves. You know, Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, I believe it was, when he was talking about the spirit of man, that no one can know the spirit of man except the spirit of man which is in him. So you can't know what happened in a person's situation and what was on that person's mind, their intent about the situation, unless you talk to them and get the information from the horse's mouth, as they used to say when I was growing up. So if you're really interested in what's going on in somebody else's life, and it shouldn't be for the reason because you are concerned about them and you want to help. It shouldn't be for the reason that you're just trying to get information so you can just have some information to yourself about somebody else. Nobody else is our business. What I do in my house is not your business, unless what I do in my house is hurting my family or it's hurting the congregation right here. But if you're concerned about me and you're concerned about my wife and you heard something and you want to help, then feel free, come and help us. But don't just come spy on us or spy on one of the members here just so you can have information to pass on to someone else about people here at Austinville. That's not very helpful. There's nothing wrong with checking on each other. There's nothing even wrong asking someone about a problem that you heard. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you have the right motives behind what you're doing. But if you go and talk to someone who can do nothing about the problem, then what's the point? What's the point? I mean, if I heard something about one of you all, why would I go to one of the teenagers and ask them about it? They can't do anything about the situation. I would probably go to Mark and get some advice or something, or one of the elders, or I'll come to you. But why would I go to somebody who can do nothing about the problem other than to provide information to people who don't need the information? In Psalms chapter 101 and verse number 5, it says, whoever secretly slanders his neighbor. And you remember what the parable of the Good Samaritan was? Who the neighbor was? The parable of the Good Samaritan identifies our neighbor, and it's the person sitting right by us. It's the person that we meet at Walmart. It's anybody we come in contact with. So in Austinville, every person in Austinville here, you are neighbors to the person you sit beside, the person who is in the other row over here, or the person who's sitting back in the room, or the person who's at the top. We are all neighbors here at Austinville. And the psalmist says, whoever secretly slanders, remember, to slander is to give defaming information. Even if the information is true, if it's an evil report, the psalmist says, whoever secretly does that toward his neighbor, God said, him will I destroy. Why would God destroy people who slander their neighbor? Who give an evil report of their neighbors? Because it's a sin. And it's not just a sin. It's a sin that can have catastrophic effects within the body of Christ. I told y'all last week, but in my short 17 and a half years of preaching and been a Christian now for 18 and a half, been preaching about 17 and a half, but in that short time, there's only one sin that I've seen destroy congregations more than any other, and it's gossip. It's gossip. Another category is the not really joking jokes. It's a flavor of gossip that involves speaking spiteful or slanderous words about another person. That's not it. But it's a flavor of gossip where you're talking about somebody and you pass some bad information about that person. And when you pass that bad information about that person, you put like a LOL at the end, a smiley face, a ha 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 ha. Have you ever taken some part in truth and turned it into a joke about someone that makes you question their character? It also serves as a passageway for gossip. Oh, you're joking, and the reason you're joking is so that you can leave there and that person won't have any impression about you gossiping. Oh, she was just joking. She didn't mean nothing about it. She didn't mean nothing about what she said. Or he. He was joking. He didn't mean anything about what he said. The joking, the not really joking jokes. Here's an example. Maybe he or she will actually get off the couch today long enough to blah, 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 blah. And so you walk past me and you say that about somebody that sits over here and you're laughing. And you keep walking. But in the back of my mind, I didn't know that. But now I know that. And I'm like, wow, I didn't know that about such and such. And now I have a different picture about them in my mind. Here's another example. When joking. I think I got the other example coming up in just a little bit. But when joking is harmful to another individual, it's no longer joking at that point. It becomes mockery. If the joke about someone else is a joke that will harm or make you question their character, it's not only a joke anymore, it's harmful to that individual. And there's only one way to deal with that type of mockery, that type of scoffing. Cast out the scoffer. Cast out the scoffer. And the contention will leave. Your strife and reproach will cease. Let me tell you something. There are some things that you can be patient with. But there are some things in the church that you can't be patient with. There are some things that I can be patient with in my home. But there are some things that I can't be patient with in my home. I can be patient with my children, you know, getting in trouble from time to time. But I can't be patient if drugs are being bought in the house. That's got to stop now. That's got to be... We got to eject that from the house immediately, because that's going to destroy my family quickly. In the body of Christ, there are things that we can be patient with. because they're personal to people. And people are trying to overcome these sins that are personal to them in their lives. And we work with them to get over those sins. But sins like gossip are like cancer. And they destroy everybody's life that it comes in contact with. And when it comes to that, we cannot sacrifice the unity and the love and the bond in the body of Christ just because we don't want to offend anyone or because we don't want to take drastic action to decrease the tension that's involved. Planting seed. This type of gossip is said in such a way to make the listener question or assume something about the character of another person, as I just said. Isn't it weird how he keeps staring at your girlfriend when you're not looking? Just planting the seed. Keep walking. Hey, you see how he stared at your girlfriend? Or did you see him stare at your wife? Just keep walking. And now, this person that was said to, they got that seed planted in their head, and every time they come in here, they just like this. They watch you. Because you just planted a seed. And this can be, let me tell you something. This one here is really common. That where we plant the seed of an idea in the minds of people we sit aside about someone else within the congregation. And now that person can't even function properly with their brothers and sisters because they got an image of them in their mind that was placed there by you. And you slandered them by planting a seed of doubt in their mind. It's interesting how he was out of town the night she was murdered. I heard that one on television before. Proverbs 16, verse 28, a perverse man sows strife and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Within the body of Christ, we should be trying to grow closer as a family. We should be trying to grow closer as a unit, as one. We shouldn't be trying to hurt and destroy each other through saying things that we should not say. People come out of the world into the body of Christ because they need a place of healing. People come out of the world into the body of Christ because they need peace. They need love. They need a family. Something that they're not getting where they currently are, yet they come in into the same foolishness that they left from. It shouldn't be that way. We should be building each other up. We should be saying positive things about each other. We should come to each other's defense, no matter what we've heard about each other, no matter how true it is, because we love each other. We protect each other here at Austinville. No, we protect each other here at Austinville because we love each other. And we're not going to be responsible for separating brothers and sisters in Christ. Got this all wrong, gossip. You admit you probably got it wrong, but you spread it anyway. You admit you got it wrong, but you probably spread it anyway. Close it out with a few verses. Jesus says, but I say unto you, every idle word a man speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. We've got to be careful. That's why James says, be swift to hear, slow to speak. We've got to be careful about the things that we say, the words that we use, because Jesus says in the day of judgment, we are going to give an account of every idle word. And remember, gossip is idle talk, evil report of idle talk that we say about someone else. We're going to give account of it. Verse 37, for by your words you will be justified, or by your words you will be condemned. That includes me too. Everything I preach to you and I say to you applies to me first. And I have to make sure that I am doing the very same thing that I'm telling you about from the Word of God. We can't go back and change what we've done. We can't go back and change what we've said, but we can start right now and be different. Forget about the mistake that you made. Forget about what you said. That's in the past now. We serve a God who's a God of the future, the present and the future, not a God of the past. And that's the wonderful thing about the grace and the mercy of God. And yes, some of the things that you said that has damaged other people, yes, they may not ever forget about it. And I understand that. We're human. It's hard for us to forget. But it's easy for God to forget. But we must make sure we stop the sin of gossip within the body of Christ. Ask yourself, is it kind? Is it true? Remember, is it kind, true, go together? And is it necessary? Because it may be bad, but it may be necessary that you communicate it with someone who can make a difference, not someone who can't make a difference. And the best way of all to stop gossiping is Proverbs 7 and verse 14. Evil people relish in malicious conversation. The ears of liars itch for dirty gossip. If you don't want to be considered evil, if you don't want to be considered a liar, don't relish in malicious conversation and don't listen to gossip. And if you do that, not only will God be pleased, you will stop gossip and you may also help the person who's gossiping. Because see, our ultimate objective is not to run the gossiper out of town. Our ultimate objective is to change the gossiper's heart, because we want them to go to heaven. We care about them. We're not going to be mean to a person who gossips. We're going to recognize that that's one of their weaknesses and that they need help. But you got to be willing to help. And the way you do that is don't give ear to the gossip. If you're here today and you are not a child of God and you want to become one, it's through faith, repentance, confession, and baptism that your sins can be washed away. And that's the only way to do it. There's no other way to do it, even though mankind makes exceptions for us from time to time. That's God's way. You're baptized right now in water, your sins are washed away. You live faithful. And through all of your mistakes that you repent of, the grace of God covers you. Remember, through your mistakes you repent of, the grace of God covers you. If you're a child of God and you probably have something that you need to repent of, or you've been entangled with gossip unintentionally, and you just need our prayers, or whatever it is in your life that you want to ask our prayers for, don't wait till tomorrow, because tomorrow is not promised. And one of the devil's greatest weapons, as I heard some preachers say, the devil's greatest wiles, W-I-L-E-S, is to get us to wait a while, W-H-I-L-E-S. Don't wait. Get your life right now. As together we stand and sing, won't you come?